The following is a recording from Sunday morning worship at Faith Presbyterian Church in Covington, Louisiana. If you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you join us any Sunday at 11 a.m. for worship. For more details, check out faithpreschurch.org.
Good morning. The reading of God's Word this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. You can find it in the Pew Bible on page 168 and 169. Or in the following Jesus Bible on page 209. The reading of God's Word. And if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruits of your womb, and in the fruits of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, and to give the rain to you, to your land, and in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. Be careful to do them, and if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to be the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods and serve them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Anyway, I want to thank the elders for allowing me this absolutely marvelous privilege of preaching God's word this morning. And as a special gift for allowing me to participate in the baptism of Catherine. That is something I have never done before in my life, and I will cherish that moment and Catherine forever. I promise, I know she's not here today, but I promise her parents that I will pray for her every day as she walks in Christ. Join me in prayer as we look at God's Word and open His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this church, for the blessings of the leadership of this church and all that we have. Father, we have your word, and your word leads us and guides us. And in Deuteronomy, as Moses spoke to his people, he made this statement, these words are not mere words to you, but are your very life. So, Father, as we read your word and study your word today, remind us that these words are our very life. Father, we ask that you be with us and bless our time together, and we ask this in Christ's name. We look at three things this morning in the sermon, and one is God's dealing with his people in the Old Testament, which you just heard read, and then how God deals with his people in the New Testament, and then because of how God deals with us as his people, how then do we leave? And then I'm going to close the sermon with a personal story of God's faithfulness to Jeanette and I. Whenever you read any part of the Bible, you need to look at the context of where the passage you're reading, where it is, and how it fits into what's going on. And in this passage we read this morning, Moses is standing before his people after 40 years of leading them through the desert. The older generation has died away because of unbelief and unfaith in Christ. And so the people that's standing there have been wandering in the desert somewhat as children or teenagers for 40 years. And they're about to go into the promised land that God has given them, surrounded by nations that don't believe that they do, don't act like they do, and have nothing to do with their own God. And so Moses is telling them, literally because of God's faith and his choosing of you, then how then should you live? One of the things as we look at the Old Testament charges us to remind us about is one thing, that God has called his people Israel by grace. And he is asking them to live by grace, and he is literally placing them in the middle of the known world at that time so that they can show God's glory and what it looks like for God's people to live in God's place under God's rule. The title of the sermon is Promises Made and Promises Kept. And that literally is based on two books that a Baptist Reformed preacher wrote, Mark Dever, called Survey of the Old Testament, Promises Made, and a Survey of the New Testament called Promises Kept. The book of Deuteronomy has been called the Gospel according to Moses, which may sound fairly strange, but a careful reading of Deuteronomy will tell you one thing about what God is looking for his people. He wants them to have a soft heart and open hands. You cannot look at the book of Deuteronomy by itself because it doesn't stand alone. It is what was called in Jesus' time and in Moses' time, the Torah. So the first five books of the Bible are called the Torah, and that interpretation means either the law or instructions. And that's going to be important to us as we look back, because when the law is referred to by Jesus or anyone else in the New Testament, normally what they are referring to is not the Ten Commandments or a specific law, but literally the first five books of the Bible. It is difficult sometimes to take something that happens in the Old Testament and take it over to the New Testament. And that's going to be somewhat of a problem as we look at this today, because again, Israel is not a nation. It is literally 12 tribes of people that have known nothing but wandering in the desert. They don't build houses. They don't know how to plant crops. They don't know to do this. They have no king. They have no government. They literally are just a group of people going among the nations. So how can we translate what happens to them and then translate it after what happens to us or how we live our lives? A careful reading of the book of Deuteronomy, and especially the passage that was laid out to you today, in verses 1 through 6, God generally gives just what you would call general blessings. In verses 7 to 10, he defines his joy there as his blessing as to defend them and to protect them. And in verses 11 through 14, he promises to provide for them. He doesn't promise to provide for them what they want, but literally what they need. God's love for his chosen people did not depend on their obedience, but on God's grace. His desire that they would reflect his love, and the challenge was not to harden their hearts, but to love God and their fellow man. God's people were given the law to show the world how God's people live in harmony with each other and creation. They were literally to be God's showcase to the world. Israel failed to trust God and to rest of him and to love their neighbors. So we look at Israel and we think of a failure. Israel did not live up to what they were supposed to be. But that wasn't the end of the story, because in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel makes this promise not only to the remnant that has been dispersed, but also to God's people in the future. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit on them. I will remove from them the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. And if you've ever looked at the Old Testament and thought, well, God really demanded that his people obey the law, and without the law, without that obedience, he would curse them. But one of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story of David. David was chosen by God to be the king of Israel. His lineage goes down with the blessings even to where this supposed king of someone will even come from the line of David. But David was technically what you call a technicolor sinner. He committed adultery, he committed murder, and yet God called David a man after his own heart. So as we look at the Old Testament and we go to the New Testament, one thing stands clear. God wants us to have soft heart and open hands. What does the New Testament have to say about the promise that we just read in that? I'd like to read something to you, and this is from Matthew chapter 5, and then I'll read something from chapter 6. And if you're familiar with the book of Matthew, this is Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. So this is his first public ministry where he is literally telling the people of Israel, the law and what you think is not what you think it is. And he makes this statement, I have come not to abolish the law or the prophets, and I've not come to abolish them, but to fill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one iota, not one dot will pass away until the law is all is accomplished. Jesus is literally saying here, I came to fulfill not the Ten Commandments, but the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. So he is literally saying to them, the first five books of the Bible are not something you just think about. They are the core to who you are and what you are to be. One of the things that I see when I read the blessings of the covenant is God's promise to protect me and to care for me, to provide for me. Maybe not the things that I desire or the things that I want, but he has promised to give me the things I need. In Matthew 6, he goes on to say this, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on it. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and how they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he not clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious enough for itself. Sufficient for this day is its own trouble. That to me is God promising me what he promised to the people of Israel when they were going into the promised land. Then the question becomes, how then should we leave? I'm not as young as most of you here. In fact, I'm basically pretty much what you'd call an old man by now. And as I grow older and I've tried to fix myself, I fail. I'm broken and I'm under fix myself, but the good news of the New Testament is that what I cannot do, God did for me. He fixed me. He sees me as righteous, not because of what I can do, but of what Jesus has done for me. God loves me, and he loves you. And there is absolutely nothing that we can do that is going to make God love you any more than he loves you right now. What he really desires of you and I is to be who we are. In 2 Corinthians, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come." In Galatians 2:20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." If you've ever read Paul's letters, Paul seems to write the same thing over and over again in each one of his letters. And the first thing he does is tell us who we are. We are children of God. We are blessed by God. We are fellows in Christ. And then he tells us why we're people of God. And he says, because God chose you. It wasn't anything you did. God placed his love on you because for his own glory and his own reason, he chose you before the beginning of the world. And then Paul says, if that's who you are, then why do you want to go back and do the things that you used to do? Why don't you just live as to who you are right here and now? A soft heart and open hands. Now, what does it mean to have a soft heart? That means that I don't stand in judgment of my fellow man. I don't stand in judgment of my neighbors. I don't stand in judgment of you. The only person I'm called to judge is myself. And it means that I don't mind sharing what blessings God has given me because God has promised to provide for me. One of the stories in the Old New Testament that I used to never understand was Jesus talking to the rich young ruler who comes to him and says, "What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Obey the law." And he said, "I've done all of this." And Jesus tells him, "Then sell all of your possessions and give them to the poor and take up my cross and follow me." And the poor man went away. He went away because he didn't trust God to give him. If he gave up all he had, he didn't trust God to provide for him. So God's call on him was turned away because of lack of faith and lack of belief. There is a personal story that I'd like to tell you. Some of you may know some of the story. Most of you don't know the whole story. A little over a year ago, in March of 2025, Jeanette and I's house caught on fire. Now, we were away with Frank and Lynn looking at independent living places. Lynn's putting her hand. And when we got back in the car, we had like 12 messages, urgent messages from a sister. And a sister said it was urgent that we call her right then and there. And so Jeanette called her and said, "What's going on?" We thought maybe someone had died in the family. And she said, "Your house is on fire." And my first reaction, she lives in Beauchene, we live in Money Hill, how does she know what my house is on fire? I literally didn't believe her. And she said, "Because we're standing outside of your house right now watching your house on fire." So Jeanette and I drove home, I would say rather recklessly, I should say, as I drove home. And when we got there, there were policemen, there were fire trucks, there were neighbors, everybody was standing out there. And if you've ever had anything like this happen to you, it's almost surreal. It really doesn't make sense to you. You're just kind of off somewhere. And a little while, one of the firemen came up and he said, "I'm going to take you in your house and show you what happened." And the house really didn't look that bad from the outside. It had a hole in the roof, but it didn't look that bad. When I got inside, it was what you literally call a toxic mess. What the fire hadn't destroyed and water and smoke hadn't destroyed, just the effect of everything came down and it was just a mess. I mean, everything we owned was gone pretty much. It was a mess. Well, Jeanette's sister and brother-in-law have a second story that no one lives at, so we had a place to stay, and that night I went to sleep as normal, pretty much still kind of in disbelief. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, I woke up literally feeling sorry for myself, but also feeling completely lost and helpless. And I'm sitting there at 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm saying, "God, I'm 88 years old. I'm too old for this. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn to. I know nothing. I don't know what to do." And I'm an early riser, so I got up around, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and I'm having a drink of coffee all by myself, and the phone rings. Todd, this is where you come in, because it was Todd Fernandez. And Todd asked me if there was anything he could do to help me with mitigating the claim. He knew that was going to be a process. And we're with USAA. And I'm a veteran, and USAA is the greatest insurance company that ever walked the face of the earth. They're absolutely unbelievable in the way they treat you. And I told him, I said, Todd, I don't think I'm going to have a problem there. I said, but I don't know what to do. I'm completely lost and helpless. And Todd says, Jim, I'm partnering a company. And this company takes your house, takes your possessions out, saves what can be saved, does everything for restoration, and basically we will be with you from the time that we start the work until you are back in your house. Todd doesn't look like an angel, but that's the way I saw him that particular day. And I hung up the phone with Todd, and literally it was like God had placed his hand on my shoulder and said, it's okay, Jim. Remember the promises I made, the covenant blessings, where I will care for you, protect you, and provide for you. Now, Todd warned me that the next 12 months was not going to be an easy one, and I will tell you it's not. But every time that I worried about something or got frustrated about something or thought something was a disaster, someone would step up and say, it's okay, Jim, we got this. Literally, it was like God had placed his hand on me and said, it's okay. If you belong to this church, then there's probably a 99% chance that you're a born-again Christian. You don't have to worry about what life's going to do to you. Whatever happens to you, whatever challenge God brings in your life, he's promised to protect you and care for you. Not just now, but forever. And someday, we will live in a world where there's no more pain and no more sorrow because God will call us all home. We are so blessed in this church. As Catherine came up here this morning and I watched the young children here in the church, this is the future of this church. When I see the men that are elders and deacons in this church and our teachers and our staff, I see men of God serving this church and blessing us every moment of the way. I am so grateful that I can call you brothers and sisters in Christ and that I am a member of this church. And again to the session, thank you so much for letting me preach. This is probably the last time I will ever do this, but I really do appreciate you letting me do this. Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, all I can think of is the words of a hymn. What kind of love is this that thou, my God, should die for me? And then, oh, this marvelous, wonderful thought that my sins, not in part but the whole, have been nailed to the cross and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, all my soul. Father, I love you. I just ask that you continue to fix me and everyone else in this body of Christ, Father, and that you guide us and you keep us as we walk in faith. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.